And we will go on in our study of the larger catechism tonight, number 171. Very convenient study for us because next Lord's Day in the evening, we will be celebrating the communion service. And so we begin our preparation for that even by going over this question tonight. Number 171. Number 171, and when you find that, we will repeat this together one more time. We'll not finish tonight, but perhaps in a couple of weeks we will finish. All right, number 171, how are they that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to prepare themselves before they come unto it? They that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper are, before they come, to prepare themselves thereunto by examining themselves of their being in Christ, of their sins and wants, of the truth and measure of their knowledge, faith, repentance, love to God and the brethren, charity to all men, forgiving those that have done them wrong, of their desires after Christ, and of their new obedience. And by renewing the exercise of these graces, by serious meditation and fervent prayer. Amen. We are going over these carefully, because we normally read this in preparation for the Lord's Supper, and it's so easy for us just to customarily, quickly get it done and forget about it. And yet there's some very deep need here to examine ourselves, because it is a very serious matter in coming to the Lord's table. We cannot increase our worthiness to come to the Lord's table, but we come realizing our great need. And that's what we are to examine ourselves. And we find our needs, and our needs are being very great before the Lord. Now, the last time that we were together, we did begin examining our love to God. And that is our love to God and the brethren. Love to God and to the brethren. So we'll just review examining our love to God. Love to God and the love of God are the grand motivators for all of our living as Christians. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 5. Examining our love to God is very important, because love does not originate with us. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. True love is set in grave contrast to those opposites that are the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is first love, and it comes from the Holy Spirit into the heart and life of the believer. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. It is His love that begets love in us to Him. Now, our love for Him is an inwrought gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we considered before, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's where that love comes from. The love is expressed in the Lord loving us first and giving Himself for us on the cross, and giving the Holy Spirit to be shed abroad in our hearts with this wonderful divine love. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. This fruit is produced in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is so different from any natural production of the human flesh. The natural production of the human flesh is set forth in verse 20 of Galatians chapter 5. Hatred and malice. And the best that we could muster in the flesh that would in any way supposedly resemble love is self-love and fleshly love, producing adultery and fornication and sexual uncleanness. That is preoccupation with sex and lasciviousness. Overflowing, uncontrollable lust is what the apostle is giving by the Holy Spirit there as the works of the natural human nature. Right after John 3:16, we know those words so well, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save those who believe on Him. And just three verses down from that, in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light, and they hate the light because the light uncovers the sin and the filth. Now, love to God is especially manifest in obedience to Him. Remember what Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Down about six verses below that, in John chapter 14 and verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. It is such a wonderful study to consider the matter of love in relation to God and to His commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 10, we read in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10, okay, this is the one verse I didn't have marked. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There is the great motivation for keeping God's commandments. It is love. And we are to love Him. Now, in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy and verse 1, we have this again. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandment always. I've actually been overwhelmed with the reality of how much the Lord says in the Old Testament in regard to loving God and keeping His commandments. This is absolutely amazing to me. In chapter 19 of Deuteronomy and verse 9, we have it again and again, this wonderful truth of loving God and loving Him as the motivation to keep His holy commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 9. If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God. And we know that is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in His ways. The Lord promises His blessing upon His people. And then over in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, coming near the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and verse 16. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16. All right, I'll go back to verse 15. It begins the paragraph. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and his, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And then, of course, Joshua brings out the same truth in his book, chapter 22 and verse 5 of Joshua. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Loving the Lord and sticking close to him, cleaving to him, holding fast to him. That is to be our motivation. It springs from love. The Lord has loved us, and we are to love him in return. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 of Nehemiah, and verse 5. As Nehemiah was before the Lord fasting and praying, he said in verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. There it is again. It is love for God that gives us the power to obey him. Whenever we obey him, it is of God's goodness. It is of his wonderful grace. And Psalm 119, of course, has so many of these references regarding his commandments and loving him. Psalm 119, verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. What a testimony. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. And still in the 119th Psalm, over at verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Have you ever had that sense in your heart and mind in regard to God's commandments? I have to say, I never loved God's commandments until I came to know the love of Christ. And once coming to know the love of Christ, I found that there was a love in my heart for God's commandments. Even the command to make some severe adjustments in my life. Because if there's one thing that I was totally consumed with before that, it was Sunday NFL football. That was one of my besetting abuses of the Lord's holy day. And the Lord gave me a victory over that, so that I don't even want to do that. I want to know more of the Lord. I want to love him better. I want to be more faithful to him. Daniel chapter 9, the last reference we're looking at in the Old Testament. It's so amazing how many references there are. Daniel chapter 9 in verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Loving him and keeping his commandments. We've already quoted in the New Testament those two verses, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is one other passage that relates so clearly to loving the Lord and keeping his commandments. It is again in the writing of the beloved Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. And what a great encouragement and source of strength and assurance we get from this, because that's the very purpose of John's writing by the Holy Spirit. The first epistle is for the aiding the assurance of God's blood-bought people. Chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now notice, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. I can remember a time when they were very grievous to me. I slip out of the house on Sunday afternoon and slip down to the pond with a fishing pole. And then my daddy find out about it. Uh-oh. Very grievous commandments. But when grace makes the difference in the heart and life, we can say with the Spirit of God, His commandments are not grievous. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. There are all kinds of ideas about what love is, but God defines love here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. How wonderful is this teaching of the Scriptures. And the thing that so amazes me about it is the emphasis in the Old Testament on love. Loving God just like it is in the New Testament. And there's no division there. It is just the same. So we examine our love to God. Do we really love Him? If we really love Him, then we will have a passion, a desire, and a direction and an endeavor to keep His commandments, to go after that, to obey Him, and to honor Him. Now, in the larger catechism, number 171, we are to examine not only our love to God, but we are to examine our love to the brethren. Our love to the brethren. We love God's people, and we love all true Christians, no matter what label they wear. We love those that love God and that know Him. Those that He loved, we love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 is so wonderful with our assurance of salvation again. John chapter, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Well, let's go back to verse 13. It's very short. And it's so pertinent to our situation. Verse 13 of John, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And you know, I never found out in being out with those who don't love Christ, I never have found that the folks who don't love Christ have a real relish for keeping His commandments, or even for those who endeavor to keep His commandments. So we are not to be surprised, my brethren, if the world hate you. But here's the very opposite of that. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And now God gives us some very concrete sight here. We can see what love looks like. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And here it is. Here's a way we can manifest that love Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we have plenty, and we have a dear brother that is in need, can we shut up our heart against that brother and not give him those things that he needs? The question is very powerful and heart-searching. How dwelleth the love of God in one that would do that? So we are to examine our love to the brethren. True Christians, we love no matter what group they're in. And then, in the larger catechism again, we are to examine not only our love to God, our love to the brethren, but our charity to all men. Now, isn't it interesting? A switch. You see, from love to charity. Same word in the original. But charity is such a wonderful word. We've said this over and over again. Charity to all men. And what is charity? Charity is a handout. Some people don't want charity. They want to earn everything they get. Charity is a handout to the needy or to the indigent. And that's where we are before God. We thank God for the handout, the gift of salvation for the needy. Now, let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. We have a very interesting portion of Scripture here. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Leviticus 19. Well, let's back up just, verse 18 is good. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Here we have the word regarding our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Jesus was asked, and Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he showed who the true neighbor was, the one who helped the one in need. So we are to examine our charity to all men. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's so interesting that this scripture, loving thy neighbor as thyself, is quoted 7 times in the New Testament scripture. Jesus showing that love to our neighbor is the second great commandment. Loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength is the first great commandment. The second is likened to it. Matthew chapter 22. Love to our neighbor includes several things. Love to our neighbor includes efforts to persuade our neighbor to believe on Christ. That's one of the things that love to our neighbor manifests itself in, is our making an effort to persuade our neighbor to believe on Christ. There is one thing. Love to our neighbor, right here in Leviticus chapter 19, also includes something else. Let's read verse 17 of Leviticus chapter 19. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Wow. So love to our neighbor also includes speaking words of gentle concern and rebuke when you see him sinning against God. That don't mean you just have to get all cranked up and get to all the fire pouring out of your mouth and just blast them with it. But you could say something to your neighbor like, my friend, I have a command from God that I'm to do to you as I would have you to do to me. And so if I was doing what you were doing, I would want you to speak to me in this way, that what you are doing is not pleasing to the Lord. And so I just want to share that with you because I'm responsible to share that with you, to rebuke you. I don't have to come over with a hammer and hit you on the head, but I do need to tell you that I'm concerned that you need to not sin against God. And I'm just encouraging you. Okay. Now, you don't have to hit them with something and, or take a sword and run them through. But thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. One way to hate your brother is just leave him alone and let him go to destruction. Yeah, you getting what's coming to you, old boy. No, not like that. Okay. So we are to examine our charity to all men. And then we are to examine, in our larger catechism, we are told that we need to examine our forgiveness toward others. Forgiving those that have done them wrong. We are to forgive those who have done us wrong. And wow, does this ever get up close and personal? Examine our forgiveness, forgiving those that have done us wrong, not bearing a grudge. Now there it is, right there in Leviticus 19, where we were reading, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Rather than bearing any grudge against any of the children of thy people, rather thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We are commanded so clearly not to bear grudges. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We are going to give an account of ourselves to God. So we are commanded, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. There we have it. And you remember Jesus spoke to that so fully, that we are to accept an apology, a verbal form of repentance. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this so clear. And it ties in with what we were considering this morning about the millstone. Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus speaking to his disciples. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses or stumbling blocks, scandals will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Here it is. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Okay. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Was he sincere the first time of the 7? He said it to me today. What's wrong with this guy? Well, let's go back to the sweet Sermon on the Mount, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14. We have just prayed in the Lord's Prayer in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So Jesus expounds some here in verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, we are to examine our forgiveness, forgiving those that have done us wrong, not bearing a grudge. Are we really willing to forgive as we want ourselves to be forgiven? Jesus' words are so crystal clear. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. That hits me right between the eyes. So we are to examine our forgiveness, forgiving those that have done us wrong. And then one more thing tonight, and we're done. We are to examine our desires after Christ. Do we really desire Him? Do we really want a close relationship with Christ? And I appreciate so much the words of our brother, Dr. Moorcraft, at this point. These are the words from our brother. He says, do we really want a close relationship with Christ? Do we really want to please Him? Do we really want to glorify Him and enjoy Him? Or do we only desire the good things that He can give to us without regard for the giver Himself? Wow. Wow. That's why we sang from Psalm 73 at the beginning tonight. Psalm 73, such a powerful word in regard to loving the Lord. In Psalm 73, verse 25, we sang the words. Here they are. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from Thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from Thee. Oh, rather, I want to be close to Thee. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. Here we have such a wonderful word. It is good for me to draw near to God. It was Abraham Kuyper who took this portion of the verse. It is good for me to draw near to God. He took that and then he composed a devotional book that size from that portion of that verse. It's good for me to draw near to God. Now, we are to desire Christ. And again, in Psalm 42, which we will sing at the close tonight, Psalm 42, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here is a real thirst for God. The picture is given here by the Spirit of God of an animal being chased, whether by man or by beast. The hart fleeing and panting just for a drink of water. Just for a little of the water brooks. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Can you ever confess to such a desire that I just want to be with you, God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? I want the Lord. And you remember those words of Jesus. Happy, happy, how blessedly happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is not a commodity. Righteousness is the Lord Himself. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. Preparation for the Lord's Supper calls for much searching of our hearts. So may the Lord help us that we would prepare ourselves even for what will take place, God willing, 1 week from this hour, that we enjoy the Lord, that we can say, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God.